two-fisted. Matthew 16:18, tonight I want to talk about how Jesus builds a church. In Matthew 16:18, he's speaking to his disciples. He's about to go to the cross. And so he asked Peter. He asked the disciples in verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Did you notice that? I don't ask people what the world thinks of Jesus. I ask them what they think of Jesus. Amen. It's a personal thing. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Well, that's a testimony right there. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee." You can't learn this by reading a book. It's got to be revealed. "But my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Amen. Now some people try to do word plays, you know. They know a little Greek, they know a little Hebrew and things, you know, and they'll say Peter means the rock, you know, Peter means the stone and things like that. I don't know if that's true or not, but by the context, I can tell you he wasn't talking about Peter. He was talking about Peter's profession of faith. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, now on that rock, that profession right there, that statement right there, he said, "I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Now we get the picture of the gates of hell coming to the church and trying to get in. That ain't what that is you hung back there, is it? No. No. The picture is supposed to be us going to the almost into the gates of hell. And Jude says snatching them from the fire. We're supposed to grab them all the way down to the gates of hell. We're supposed to chase people all the way to the gates of hell. And now he said, you do that, and those gates of hell itself will not prevail against his church. Now, there have been a lot of things come and go that called themselves church, you know. A lot of organizations that called themselves church. A lot of denominations called themselves church. But the devil's pretty well made a mockery of most of them already. Amen. But God still got some children. Told Brother Kelly the other, well, he called me Friday, last Tuesday or something. And on the phone, I told him, I said, because he was feeling discouraged. And I've been there. You know, four people show up on Sunday night, you get discouraged as pastor. I said, brother, don't you worry about it. God still got some children. God's got some children. All of them not hypocrites. All of them not backsliders. All of them not fakes. God's still got some children out there. And I've got news for you. God's still got some churches in our country. Now, I know there's a lot of them in a mess, but listen, the true ones have never been in the majority anyway.
Amen.
The Church of Jesus Christ has always been the minority. And the world's always persecuted the true church. And if the world likes it, and denominationalism likes it, and all these other people in the world like it, I would say it's not a true church. I'd say the gates of hell's already took that thing. Amen. But in a true church, Jesus will build his church, and what he does is forever. Amen. Now, I don't believe in an invisible church. You'll hear that preached in a lot of denominational places, the invisible body of Christ. That's nowhere in the Bible. That's nowhere in the Bible. It's local churches in the Bible. There are no denominations in the Bible. It's local churches. And of course, we as Baptists, we trace our history back to the New Testament. We don't have a founder, but Jesus and his teachings. If you go to the Lutherans, you got Martin Luther that founded their teachings. You go to the Methodists, it's the Wesleys, they founded that teaching. And you go to the Presbyterians, you got Calvin and Zwingli and others, the Protestants. We're not Protestants. Our church history, you ought to get that little book, Trail of Blood. It traces what we believe all the way back to the New Testament. Now, that's the church that Jesus built. It's never been corrupted. It's never fallen. It's never been destroyed. The Church of Jesus Christ will stand, because what God does is forever. Now, we see little old churches pop up every once in a while here and there, and then they gone just about as fast as they came. God wasn't in that. God didn't build that. They did. So, look, I want to show you how to build a church Jesus' way, okay? Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. I ain't got over this past Sunday. I haven't got over it. The Lord really blessed. I never dreamed that would happen. I did have an idea of the trustees and deacon and my wife. We discussed, you know, at Sunday might give us a little, you know, a few $1,000, you know, just to be nice to us. But we never thought it would happen like that. And God did that. And now, what God did was move the hearts of the minds and the hearts of givers and receivers Sunday. The givers were blessed for giving, and receivers were blessed for receiving. Amen? Now, God did that. We didn't arrange that. That wasn't politics. That wasn't persuasion. That was God, the Holy Ghost, taking care of His church. That's what it was. Now, I believe when First Baptist first started out, it was Airport Baptist then. I think there was some 1975. I think they were good people. They had a good heart. They had a good desire. I think they wanted to have a New Testament church, and it went good through about 1980. And preacher, and, you know, original pastor retires, and no one comes along, and no one comes along. And with everyone, they lost people, and it went downhill, you know. And everybody wanted to try something new and improve, you know. We got to do this to draw people. We got to do that to draw people. Let's change the music. Let's change the way we dress. Let's change the way we worship and all this stuff. And with every one of those, it just kept going down, because, see, what they were trying to do is rebuild the church that Jesus started in the first place, and it just kept going down. And they didn't build the church. They even changed the name of it. And so Jesus does it different. So I thought about that. Now, I think, well, how do we proceed? How do we go on to be the Church of Jesus Christ? And since it's Latter Day, we are Latter Day Saints. Amen? But we're not Mormon. How do we proceed? Well, I thought, well, the only way to figure it out is using infallible, inerrant, inspired book that to teach us. We've got to find that book to teach us how to proceed. And I think we found it already right there. Amen? There's the Word of God. That's the same Word that God spoke to Peter right there. We've got it right here. It's written. Amen? And so I thought I'd find some scriptures to support how to build our church and how to proceed our church. And how did they even know, in the book of Acts, in the beginning, how did people even recognize the church? All right, turn to Mark chapter 2. This is how we proceed. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. Now, we got a little money left over in the bank. $5,000 ain't going to build a building, but it's a good start. But God's give us a church. He's give us property. He's give us property. He's give us the things that we need. We've got everything we need to have a church physically, right? And we got to get this thing all settled in and fixed every way we want it. Because when we go to work, we don't have but 20 empty seats. I mean, we had 100 people here Sunday, 95. And Danny counted them. I don't think he counted over 90. So it's probably 100 people. Probably 100 people. And the week before, we had 100 people. And what, we got 120 seats, 120-something seats. So when we really get to work, we don't have but 20 vacancies. And so what are we going to do? Well, we're going to do the same way we did on John Street, where we could sit, really, we could sit 75 comfortable, well, 65 comfortable, but 75 crowded and then 85 packed. But we just did what we were supposed to do. We kept doing what the Scriptures said. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. Well, the first thing, if you're going to build a church that Jesus is going to be in, people have to know that Jesus is there. See, people's got it all wrong. It's not about activities. It's not about entertainment. It's not about a basketball team or a softball team or handing out stinking water bottles at the race uptown. It's about Jesus. And when people find out Jesus is in the house, they'll come check it out. Hey, when I was a kid, we used to, we'd hear a fire truck, we'd jump on our bicycles, we'd ride a mile following that fire truck because we wanted to see something burn, man. Wasn't y'all like that? Yeah, you were. Had more fires back then, though, the old houses, you know, they burn a lot quicker. And somebody holler fire, we'd all be headed in that direction. Wasn't you like that? Well, hey, same way when Jesus is in the house, people say, man, Jesus is down there. I went down there, I felt his presence. I saw him work. I felt his power. Amen. And so when they found out that Jesus was in the house, these people packed that house. They didn't have to run out a bunch of literature. They didn't have to run ads in the paper, on the radio, on TV, or they didn't even have internet. And the house was packed because they heard that Jesus was in the house. Amen. Now, if we'll lift him up, if we'll make much of Jesus, people will come just to watch you burn. Amen. You get on fire for God about Jesus and people will come to watch you burn. They will. They'll say, we need to go down there and see what's going on. We heard some stuff and I heard people was doing all kinds of Sunday they were shouting and crying and waving hands and the preacher was talking about taking a couple of laps around the building. Let's go down there and see what's going on. Jesus must be down there. Amen. He's got to be here. That's got to be number one. The Bible says making him preeminent. He's got to be number one. He's got to be above everything and everybody else. That's why we're not putting people's names on stuff around here. We're not, hey, we're dedicating it all to Mr. Jesus. Amen. The fellowship hall be named after Mr. Jesus. The pulpit furniture be named after Mr. Jesus in memory of him. Amen. Now you get him in the house, people will come just to see what's going on. I guarantee you. When I went to church before I was saved, the first time I really went to church and understood what was going on, it scared me. It did. Not that I wasn't dressed like they were, I wasn't. Not that I didn't have their haircut, I didn't. Not that I didn't like their music, I didn't. What scared me was that man up there with that big old fat finger talking about Jesus, amen. That scared me, that fat finger pointing right at me. Every time I looked up, that big old fat finger right there in my face. He could be pointing over here, but I felt like he was pointing right at me every time. I'd slide down behind somebody else, and I'd look around, he's pointing right there at me while he's preaching. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Well, hey, that scared me. We left there, I said, I ain't never going back down there. Them people's crazy. But I felt something. See, I felt the power and the presence and the love and the comfort and the conviction of a holy God named Jesus Christ. We put him in the house. They'll come. Amen. Now look at Ephesians chapter 3. How do we go on, preacher? What do we do after this? We ain't got but 20 empty seats. What are we going to do? Ephesians chapter 3. Somebody asked me the other week, said, won't you have three services? I said, we already have three services. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And y'all just go to church for 30 minutes on Sunday morning. You're wasting the building. Ephesians chapter 3, if you will. Look at verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, you know what? If people knew that the Holy Spirit was here in people's hearts and was working in their lives and working in their families and working in this place, this church will grow. I went to church a couple times when I was little. My mom would take me and my little brother just a few times. I can remember maybe two or three. And I'd sleep. And some preacher, I guess he called himself, would get up there and just bore me to death, just read monotone and put me to sleep. And I thought, man, this ain't no fun. And I can go in churches now, and when you walk in a church, you can tell if the Holy Ghost is going to do anything in there. You can tell. There's an atmosphere that he brings with him. Excitement, love, joy, peace, all those things. The Holy Ghost brings that with him. You didn't bring that with you. He brought it with him in you. See? And that's why he said, wherever two or three are gathered together, I'll be there in the midst and I'll bless. Now, if we go forward and people know that Jesus is in the house, and people know that the Holy Spirit is there, they may not always agree with what we say or what we do, but if they ever need God or they want to get saved, they'll say, I know where there's a place we can get that. I've been down there. I felt that. I know He'll be there. Amen. They're not going to like you. They're not going to like your church. They're not going to like your singing. They're not going to like your standards of living and conduct. But one day, they're going to say, I need Jesus, and I know where I can go that I can feel the power and the presence of a holy God. And it ain't over there where they play rock and rap music. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I threw that in there. It ain't even on my outline. Amen. Acts chapter 6. Well, preacher, what are we going to do? What's an obvious sign that Jesus is building His church? Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. What's an obvious sign that Jesus is building this church? Well, number one, Jesus is there. Number two, the Holy Spirit is there. Number three, Acts chapter 6, verse 7 says, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. You see that? And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. God was moving in such a way that even priests were getting saved. The Jewish priests, they were getting saved. Now, how does that happen? Well, verse 7 says, and the word of God increased. The more it was preached, the more they got saved. The more it was preached, the more they grew. And it didn't say little tricks and little publicity things. It said the word of God increased, and the disciples increased so much that their priests were getting saved. Come on. So, preacher, what do we do? How do we know that we're going in the right direction? Well, it's very simple. Jesus is in the place. The Holy Ghost of God is in the place. And the Bible is in this place. Now, when I say Bible, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about 120 English translations. Everything can't be right if it's 120 different ones. And when they disagree with each other, who's going to tell you what's right and what's wrong? Where's your final authority? Where's the book that you can go to and hold it up and say, this is the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God without any mixture of error? It's every word, every jot, every tittle, just like Jesus said, in the English language. Now, that doesn't mean people in Germany get saved on the old KJV, but it means people in America can. Well, we need to modernize it. Why? What's wrong with it? Where does it ever say you need to modernize the Word of God? What you'll do, you'll hire some hireling, some crook that calls himself an expert in languages, start cutting things out of it. That's what'll happen. He starts cutting it out. And so, sinners want to know, do you have a book that I can trust 100%? Now, I wanted to know that. When I first got saved, I wanted to know, is the Bible actually the Word of God, pure and undefiled? Now, even the Muslims know that. Did you know the Muslims brag because they've never translated the Quran into another language? Now, you can buy it in English, but it's not a translation. They haven't changed anything. And they said, that's the same as our Arabic or whatever it is they write in. And it's the same in the English as it is right there. We made sure we didn't change not one word. Well, I can hold up this Bible right here and say the same thing. Yes, it came from Hebrew and Greek, but I can be sure God's proved it for 400 years. Not one word is different than the original right there. For the English-speaking people. Now, he's got a Spanish Bible, and he's got a Hebrew Bible, and he's got a German or whatever Bible. But I'm not that. I'm English. I need a Bible I know is pure and perfect in the English language. And if God wrote a book, I believe God can keep a book pure, don't you? Well, preacher, you just don't know. Our scholars say, I don't give a flip what your scholars say. I've read the Bible. I know what God says. Amen. I read what He says, and it works. Your scholars are no good for me. Amen. I listened to them before I got saved. Amen. Matthew chapter 12. Matter of fact, a lot of them need to get saved. Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. They're making merchandise of men's souls. That's what the Bible says. Matthew 12, verse 25. Sorry, I got choked. And Jesus knew their thoughts. Well, that's scary, ain't it? And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Well, how do you know? What's the sign that God is building a church? How can we see that if God's building this church? Well, he simply said this, every kingdom divided is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself cannot stand. There'll be unity in a church that Jesus Christ is building. Come on. Now, we don't have all these fusses and little cliques and all, and we're not going to have them as long as I'm here. Went to visit a family the other day that used to be members of First Baptist. I went yesterday to see him. And the man told me, he said, preacher, you know what I like about your church? I said, what? He said, somebody's in charge. He said, they got a pastor. He said, we ain't never had a pastor like that. He said, they had deacons and boards and all this stuff telling the preacher what to do. He said, I had one pastor out here, one church in town, and the deacons got so bad they wanted to check his sermons before he could preach. I said, it'd be a cold day where the booker man's going before I ever let anybody check my sermons before I preach. If you don't like my sermon, vote me out. I don't need you, okay. I'll go somewhere and preach the same sermon and get people saved. Amen. Come on. Now, we got unity, Brother Ron. This other one said they used to go to church and they stopped having Sunday school. Instead, they had cell groups. They would meet in people's houses on Sunday morning and had leaders in each house, you know, and they called that their Sunday school. I said, I bet that didn't last long. He said, that didn't last a few months. I said, why? He said, people started arguing with each other over who's in charge. I said, well, it never would work in my church anyway, because as soon as I said cell group, they start bailing out. They done been in one of those. Cell? I had one of them. No one go there. Got a bondsman. Yeah, we do have a bondsman, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hey, that was good. Write that down somewhere. But the church that Jesus is building is united. Now look, we got one purpose here. Number one is to glorify God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. That's number one. Number two is to rescue the perishing and care for the dying. Storming the gates of hell. Keeping people out of hell. And then making disciples of those people who we're keeping out of hell. Now right now we're still building up a good base. Boy, if we ever get this bunch, we get that Sunday morning crowd all the way it ought to be, we'll turn this town upside down, buddy. Amen. And so, unity. A church that is divided and has different groups in it will not stand. Now, you take my word for it. I've been there. A church that is not united in the Spirit and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ will not stand. Because sooner or later, one group is going to out-muscle all the other groups, and they'll be the owners of your church. It's happened all over this town.
Yes.
We can say our mother church. It's happened. One group will outmuscle all the other church. They'll get the most power, and they'll take it.
And your church will die. And I've seen it. Some of you have seen it. Amen?
Amen.
Unity. Got to have unity if you're going to build a church the way Jesus builds it. Amen? It says, Jesus, he told them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand.
Right.
Now, we're not going to be divided. Now, we'll have meetings on stuff, you know, and we do. If we're going to spend money, we have meetings. But we're not going to argue over all kind of little old nitpicking stuff. We're not going to do that. There's more important things in life. Amen?
Yeah.
So, unity, we need it. And then, not last, but the last that I have, Psalm 126. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. Psalm 126. Preacher, how do we know that God is building this church? And how do we go on and let Him do what He wants to do? Well, I said it. People have to know that Jesus is in the house. They have to know that the Holy Ghost is in the house. They have to know that the inerrant, inspired Word of God is in the house, our final authority. They've got to know that we're united in spirit. And Psalm 126, 5 and 6 says this, that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth in weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. A church that Jesus is building has concern for lost people. Has concern for lost people. Now, we're still discipling, we're still building up people, but we're fixing to get the work out there. And look, once you get a concern for people, and you get a heart for people, and you, so much that you'll weep over them dying and going to a devil's hell, then God can use your church to get people saved. Church ain't a place you come to soak and sit. Soak the Word of God and sit. Church is a place where you come to be discipled so you can go out in the old world and preach the gospel in your world as well as mine and here.
Amen.
This ain't all the world.
He said go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Amen.
That's everywhere we go. The grocery stores you'll feel. The drug stores you'll feel. Boy, if I'd have been there when old Jim passed away in that drugstore, I'd have had me a sermon ready for that one, buddy. Died in the drugstore. Crossed over to heaven from the drugstore. Hey, y'all ready to go to heaven? That'd be a good place to preach right there. Amen? But go into all the world and preach the gospel. Your house, my family, your family, our neighbors, our friends, our classmates, our co-workers, all these people around here. And I'm going to be honest with you. All over this town, I've knocked on doors now ever since 1978. I've knocked on doors, and I've never, now you listen to this, I usually do it on Thursday nights. I've never, and on Saturdays, and I've never run into another church or another pastor knocking on doors where I was at. Now, I've saw little stickers and stuff, little baggies, little door hangers, but I've never. Me and my wife, when I first got saved, surrendered to preach, we had that little church down there in Lancaster and went to see one of my best friends and his wife. We went in the house that was living with his mother-in-law, and while we were in there trying to witness to them, some Mormons showed up. Mormons! I was in another house one time, some Jehovah's Witness showed up. But I've never had a Bible-believing Baptist show up anywhere where I was out on visitation or soul winning. Not one time. Now, I'm not saying nobody else does it. I'm just telling you they're so few and far between, you ain't got to worry about running over somebody else's harvest because they're not bringing it in anyway. Right. This one Baptist preacher said, ain't you afraid you're going to pick it green? Aren't you afraid you'll go out there and you'll harvest them too early? I said, how in the world are you going to keep people out of hell too early? And I said, I'm sure if I pick one too soon, God will let them in anyway.
Amen.
Amen. We're supposed to go weeping. I'm glad somebody cared enough about me to come to my house, come to my house, come to my house, come to my house, and witness to me, and witness to me, and witness to me. And I'm sure they was afraid they were offending me, and I'm sure they were afraid what I might say to them, but they kept on coming anyway. Now, church that Jesus built has a concern for lost people. Now, folks, we can get in here, we can have a good time, we can fill this place up with our family and friends and just quit, and this place will die on the vine. Yes. We got a shortage of children now.
Yes. Come on now.
Yeah. and look, last week, this week it was Jim that passed over to the other side. Next week it may be somebody else. And pretty soon you won't have a church. All the old people die off. Now, I'm going to tell you, older people usually finance the ministry.
People used to talk about Jim Baker taking them little old widow, them little poor people's money. I said, old people's got the most money in the country. They done paid for everything. They don't owe for nothing. Help me here, old people. Y'all don't want to admit it, do you? I said, you might not can walk, but you can finance somebody else to walk. Amen? You can pay for some tracks. You can, you can sponsor something to get people out there to go win people to Christ. Amen? Maybe you can't do it. Maybe your help won't allow you.
But I'm going to do it as long as I can. And pretty soon, when we get it all settled down, you might get mad at me because we've got Jesus in the house, and we've got the Holy Spirit in the house. And we've got the right Bible in the house. And we've got unity in this house. Now what we need to get in is get in concern for the lost.
Yes.
And go forth weeping to bear in that precious seed. He said, doubtless. Did you read that word? And if you got a King James Bible, you got something else that probably ain't got that in there. But it says, doubtless, he'll come again, bringing his sheaves with him. It'll work, I'll guarantee you. If you get to witness into people, it'll work. And he says, doing it with tears.
You don't go up to people and say, well, you're going to go to hell. Well, he already knows that. She already knows that. If there's a hell, they probably already know they're going. And so, boy, if you'd have done that to me when I was going to hell, I wouldn't have liked you. I'm glad somebody came up to me and said, listen, God loves you, and Jesus wants to save you. He died for you. And if you'll let him, he'll save you.
Amen.
Weeping, compassion, care. Amen?
Now, if we keep these things, God will bless this place. God will build his church. Now, I've got news for you. $5,000 in that building fund, I'm glad we're paying this thing off. Thank God. Who would ever thought it was going to happen?
But if we're going to keep doing things for God, and we're going to do what we ought to do, we're going to keep Jesus in the house, we're going to keep the Holy Ghost here, we're going to keep the Bible here, we're going to keep unity here, and our concern begins to grow down the road, we're going to have to build something to put them in. Now God will do that.
Yes.
If you have concern for the lost, God will build his church. If you keep Jesus in it, God will build his church. If you keep his Holy Spirit in it, God will build his church. If you keep his Bible in it, God will build his church. If you stay united, God will build his church. And then if you get compassionate, loving, and caring, and having compassion on some, making a difference, he said in Jude, God will build his church. All you got to be is compassionate, loving, and be available, and he'll do the work. Amen. I want to see people saved. I want to see y'all grow. Thank God some of you have grown a lot. And that blesses my heart. And I'm going to keep preaching so people can grow. I am.
But I'm looking forward to the day where we see people start walking the aisle again getting saved. If you'll go forth weeping,
bearing precious seed.
Seed's the word of God. He says, doubtless, no doubt about it, you'll come again. And you'll be bringing your sheaves with you.
Yes.
You'll find one on the side of the road coming from California and stand up. And you'll say, son, you need to get saved. And you'll start crying and take him down here at the altar. Cast that California demon right out of him.
And so I ain't seen nothing like that in a long time. Hey, you'll see all kind of things if we just do what he says. Amen? Amen. Let's do it. Would you agree with me this is how he builds his church?
Yes.
Would you agree with me it's the right thing to do?
Yes.
Would you agree with me it'd be sin to do anything other?
Yes.
Then let's do it.
Amen.
Let's stand.